And we have started a series in Genesis 4 to 11. Genesis 5, which I'm going to preach from today, is on page 7 of the Church Bible. Now, just before I read, a couple of things to say about Genesis 5. One thing is that the people mentioned in Genesis 5 live a really, really long time. And you may be thinking, how is that possible? Is it just another one of the Bible's kind of fairy stories? I don't think so. Here are some possible reasons for why the people mentioned live a long time. At creation, humans, remember, were created perfectly, weren't they? Yeah? They were created to live forever. And so right back at the start of humanity, if you like, the corruption of sin has not really had time to work its way through the generations. So that's one possible reason why the people mentioned live a long time. Another one is that God tells humans to populate the earth, the whole earth. Now, if there's only a few of them, it's going to take a long, long time to do that. And so perhaps God gives them really long lives so they can do that. Another reason might be that this is before the flood, Noah's flood. And so it might be that the climate is a bit different. We just don't know. So there could be a mixture of some or all or one of those reasons. And that might be why these people live a really, really long time. Dami, that's going to answer your question. I know that for a fact. Okay? Brilliant. Another thing is, I read this chapter, there's a pattern to these verses. Listen, I might even ask you to take part once you get the hang of it. So listen to the pattern, and then listen out for breaks in the pattern, because those are deliberate. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, this is the written account of Adam's family life. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years and then he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. After he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived a total of 912 years and then he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. After he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived a total of 905 years, and then, when Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of Mahalalel. After he became the father of Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Kenan lived a total of 910 years. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he became the father of Jared. After he became the father of Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Mahalalel lived a total of 895 years. When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years. Now, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. After he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived a total of 969 years. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah. and said, "He will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands caused by the ground the Lord has cursed." After Noah was born, Lamech lived 595 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Lamech lived a total of 777 years. After Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This is God's word to us this morning. Let me pray briefly. Keep Genesis chapter 5 open. Our Father in heaven, last week Genesis 4 told us that at that time people began to call on the name of the Lord. We call on that name for help. Forgive our many sins. Help us to walk with the Lord Jesus through this. In his name, amen. This week I saw an article, here's a cheery thought, about the most played songs at funerals in the UK in 2022. Now, they didn't give me an order, but I'll tell you some of the most popular ones. My Way, Frank Sinatra, yeah? Somewhere Over the Rainbow, You'll Never Walk Alone, Jerry and the Pacemakers, Angels by Robbie Williams, and always, always, always in this list is Always Look on the Bright Side. It is, and it's made it for years. This may sound a bit morbid. There'll be people here who have done this though, but turn to maybe someone next to you or around you and say, what songs or hymns or whatever it is would you like played at your funeral? Okay, here's a cheery thought as we start. Okay, I won't ask you to shout them out, but that might have been a little weird. Let me see, first, if you're a Christian, pick hymns at your funeral that speak about the hope that you have in the Lord Jesus. Okay, but why did I start there? Genesis 5 gives us the pattern of life experienced by humans all down through history since Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. We're born, we grow, we learn, we work. Some people have kids, some don't. We grow old, and then what? And then we die. That's the pattern of human life. But let me tell you, if you're not aware of this, even in the weirdness of saying to people around you, what songs would you like at your funeral? People are scared stiff about talking about death in our country. Scared stiff. Even lots of Christians. If you were here last week, we saw that life as Adam's children outside the Garden of Eden is marked by sin. Genesis 5 tells us that God was not joking when he gave his judgment on Adam and Eve, that because of their rebellion against him, they would die. God had said to Adam, "For dust you are, and to dust you will return." Life's going to be full, or it's going to include at least painful toil, and then we die. And we saw that, the repeated chorus in chapter 5, as we follow the line of Adam's family, down through Seth, and Enosh, and Kenan, and all those other guys. I understand this is solemn, serious stuff this morning. But Genesis 5 is here to help us. A verse of the year says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Genesis 5 is given up to us as help in the face of death. And we get that help as we learn a little bit later on about a man called Enoch, who we're told didn't die. Now this morning, what I want to do is tell you three things about why Genesis 5 is great help from the Lord, especially in the face of death. The first is this: it's honest about our destination. Has anyone ever heard of something called a death cafe? Anyone ever heard of that? These were set up about 10 years ago. There are so few places where you can go and speak to people about death that a bunch of people got together and said, like, once a month, we'll go to a cafe and a bit, I don't know, I'm assuming like Alcoholics Anonymous or something like that. You go and you share your experiences with others. People who have recently been bereaved, because people feel they've got no one to talk to. They don't want to speak to others, or it's seen as a downer. Who wants to be the person who's talking about their dead relative? Do you know what I mean? And so because there's so few places to speak about it, someone came up with a bright idea of death cafe. If you need this, the nearest one, the next one's in Stoke Newington on January 26th. But that's how hard it is to talk about death. Whether we want to face up to it or not, or talk about it or not, our destination, like Adam and Seth and Enosh and Kenan and Mahalalel and Jared and so on, it's the same as them. Yesterday afternoon, I took the boys and Tricia and Katie. We went for a walk. The rare moment it was dry. And we live just round the corner from the cemetery on Church Street. And at the back of the cemetery is the wetlands. There's a little gate that you can get through to the back. Often we walk through the cemetery to get there. Listen to these numbers. 76, 59, 82, 11, 37, 48, 3, 85, 2 months. That was the ages on a row of gravestones on one of the paths. It's brutal, isn't it? In Genesis 5, 9 early members of the human race are named. Each lived a long time, as I mentioned. But whatever the reason for their long lives, what stands out is that they died. And then he died. And then he died. And then he died. When Adam, verse 3, had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then he died. You know, Genesis 5 is teaching us once more that God will tell us the truth always, but the devil's a liar. Back in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent was trying to tempt Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said to her, "You're not going to die." Genesis 5 tells us they did die. Just as each of Adam and Eve's descendants will, us. Nothing we can do will halt its arrival. Every death proclaims that God is true and can be trusted. Maybe you've heard at funerals a poem that starts like this: "Death is nothing at all. It does not count. I've only slipped away to the next room." That is garbage. That is toilet paper. Rubbish. Death is awful. Young people, if you've never experienced the death of someone close, one day it will come and it is heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, like you can't imagine the pain. And the Bible tells us that death is God's right judgment for turning our back on him. Every death I encounter proclaims the reality of human sinfulness. Do you know, I actually quite like walking through the cemetery to get to First Farm Wetlands when the boys are with me. I like to speak to them about this. That might sound a little morbid, but I like to remind them that life's short, it is. That one day their old man will go that same way. So will they. Tell them that there's a limit to the time we have in the world. And that one day, this is a reminder that we each live a life, we die, and then we'll give an account of our lives to God. Maybe this week, wherever your nearest cemetery is, go take a look around. Go look at those names. Each was a life. Each was precious. In the graves are the remains of the rich and the poor, the brave, the cowardly, the wise, the foolish, maybe great titans of industry, people famous, maybe people who were poor and we don't know anything about. Death's a great leveler. I was speaking to a friend about this passage this week, and he said something sobering to me. Put your name in the rhythm of that passage. When Dougie was 34 years, he became the father of Jamie. After he became the father of Jamie, he lived. Well, we don't know that yet. He had another son and daughter. Altogether, Dougie lived. We don't know that yet. And then he died. I don't want to be overly dramatic, but the reality is all of us will die, and we do not know when that time is. And the tragedy is the people of our time are scared stiff. Maybe even this morning, you are scared stiff to face up to that reality. Genesis 5, God is honest with us and says, hey, this is our destination. We have to be ready. But the second reason Genesis 5 is help from the Lord is this. It tells us we need a relationship. A relationship actually that answers death. Did you notice the break? Verse 21 in the pattern. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. And you're expecting, and then he died. But we're told Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Where does Enoch go? Imagine being his mate. Where is he? Now, presumably, God takes him to heaven. He bypasses death. He's taken around the other side of death without dying. This is here to make us go, wow, maybe there's something that breaks the pattern. Maybe there's a way. Well, the two things, or the thing that's repeated about Enoch, you see it in verse 22 and verse 24. What are we told about Enoch? He walked faithfully with God. That's the answer to our death. He walked faithfully with God. Enoch inherited Adam's sinful nature like all of us did. He was a sinner, but there was a point he stopped walking away from God and started walking with God. We're not told that Enoch was perfect or he kept all the rules or he was sinless. All we're told is that twice he walked faithfully with God. And that is what each of us need in the face of death. That's where we find hope in the face of death. Think about what it means to walk with someone, okay? It's not just walking down the same stretch of pavement as them. It would be weird if I said to Tricia, let's go for a walk, and I'm walking on one side of Berry Street West, and she's walking on the other. That's not walking with someone. Walking with someone implies a closeness. Walking in step. Chatting as you're going along the road. Maybe holding hands. Enoch walked in step with God. You know, that's what each of us were created to do. Adam and Eve were told walked with God in the garden. He wants us to walk with him. His walk seems to have a beginning. It seems to coincide with when he becomes a father. Prior to those 65 years, in verse 21, he must have been out of step as every other human being was. But for some reason, at that moment, he starts to walk faithfully with God. It was deliberate. You know, this is really, really important. I'm going to ask you to turn to another part of the Bible. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. It's on page 1209. 1209. Keep your finger in Genesis 5. Hebrews 11, page 1209, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you go back to Genesis 5, you know, before I started to look at this passage, I thought Enoch's walk with God was something different from ours. I used to think that, well, maybe Enoch in those times kind of, he saw something visible. It was like God was kind of walking right next to him physically. But I don't actually think that's the case. Hebrews 11 tells us that Enoch was a man of faith. I don't think Enoch could see God, but he believed he existed. And he trusted that God wanted him to have a relationship with him. Enoch was someone who called on the name of the Lord. Lord, I need your help. You're the maker of heaven and earth. I want to live in relationship with you. And through that faith, Enoch doesn't die. God took him away. And Enoch seems to have been happy to spend eternity with God in heaven. Why is Enoch taken straight to heaven? Well, I wonder if the reason is that right at the beginning of the Bible, the only answer to death is to enter into the kind of relationship with God that Enoch had. And in that way, at least that way, Enoch is pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord Jesus do? He was God walking on earth. And what did he call people to do? Come walk with me. Come follow me. Come walk in step with me. The Lord Jesus died and rose again to bring men and women into relationship with God through faith. And Jesus died and rose again so that after the terminus of death, all who trust in him might walk with God forever. Enoch may have walked faithfully with God. He may have been close to God, but not as close as the Lord Jesus was with his Father in heaven. Do you know, if anyone deserved to bypass death, who do you think it was? Jesus. If anyone should have went directly into the presence of his Father, it was Jesus. But what does the Lord Jesus do? He walks towards death. He tastes death. He dies for us, death on the cross, with all its horror. Why? To forgive my sin and bring me into step with God forever. So that as I and anyone calls on Jesus to forgive their sin, we can have that faithful relationship with God that Enoch had. The Bible says that having died, Jesus was raised to life. He ascended into heaven without dying again. And so will all who trust in Jesus. We'll all walk with God through him. Now, it doesn't mean that those who walk with God today will avoid physical death. It's likely that unless the Lord Jesus returns, all of us will still face a physical death. But the sting of death is removed. You see, even on the day I die, when my heart stops and my lungs give up, and my eyes close, or whatever it is, I'll wake up and walk with Jesus forever. Enoch shows us, he promises us, that death is not the end for the believer in the Lord Jesus. When a Christian dies, they're not lost. They're walking with him forever. And the really simple question for us this morning is, are we walking faithfully with Jesus? That's what we need, because we're all going to die. And I urge you, if you're not ready for death, to turn to Jesus, to trust in him, to put your hand in his and walk in step with him. It begins by asking him to forgive your sin. And as you do that, he promises it will be forever. If we refuse to do that, if we want to walk our own path, well, what's the pattern for Adam and Eve's children? And then they died. And the Bible says that we die once and then we face judgment. We have to give account to God for how we've lived our lives. And God's right judgment on sin is death and hell. But not for those walking with him. But for others, for those of us who are Christians, maybe this morning there's an area of life and no one else knows about this. And you're walking away from him. You know, we're told twice, walk faithfully with God. Maybe this morning, Enoch is pointing you back to life in the Lord Jesus Christ. All who are in Jesus will live forever. You know, sometimes at the prayer meeting, I give the impression that death's a rotten place. I want Ailey and whoever to get better. Please, Lord, don't let them die. Heaven's a great place. No one who's there will want to come back. Paul says, to live is Christ, to die, gain. Not loss, gain. Why is Genesis 5 help from the Lord? It's honest with us. It tells us what we need in the face of death. And the last thing, it promises a comforter. Right at the end of the chapter, there's another break in the pattern, verse 28. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he had a son. He named him Noah and said, he will comfort us in the labor and painful toil of our hands, caused by the ground the Lord has cursed. Noah, we're told, sounds like the word for comfort. That's what his name means. Lamech, his father, felt the reality of the curse, of Adam's sin, the painful toil of the labor of their hands, death. I wonder if Lamech is wanting or is hoping that Noah is going to be the God's promised comforter. The one who's going to reverse the effects of sin and death in our world. Now, Noah won't do that. But one of Noah's descendants will. And the reason we're pointed here in Genesis 5 is to be pointed to the Lord Jesus, who through his birth, death, resurrection, ascension, and return gives us help and comfort in the face of death. He alone is a source of comfort for everyday toil. We've got to finish. You know, I think one of the things that will make us distinctive as Christians in the time we live is that we're not afraid of talking about these things. Now, that doesn't mean we need to bang on about it all the time. Doogie's always the guy who's talking about death. I'm not that guy. But we won't be afraid of talking about it, nor will we ever be afraid of pointing people to the hope, the source of comfort, the one that we need in the face of death, the Lord Jesus Christ. My grandfather was a Christian for about 63 years. He didn't leave many instructions after his death, but one that I do remember is this. He wanted on his gravestone, forever with the Lord. Forever with the Lord. Even in death, he wanted to point people to the hope that he'd had for 63 years. That was true of Enoch. It's true for all who walk with Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, these are not easy things to discuss and talk about and even preach on. But we thank you for the honesty of your word. that tells us about what we face, about what we need to realize, so that we might be pointed to Jesus, who brings us hope and comfort, who will take us through death, who even should we die today, will wake up and see his face and walk with him forever. We praise you for that. Help us, as long as we're alive, to point people to the hope that we have. And if we grieve, would we remember we don't grieve as those without hope, but remember Jesus. Father, thank you for Enoch, who's with you today, who's been walking with you for all that time. We praise you for our hope that one day, like Enoch, we will walk with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.